All right, tonight for our study, let's look into the book of Jude. The book of Jude has 25 verses, and we will attempt to read all of those. And this has been called the preface to the book of the Revelation, for it has to do with the subject of apostasy. People turning from the truth, turning to ungodliness, turning to lies. And Jude gives us these few verses that we have in our text, but they are full of marvelous things, things of understanding, things of that will teach and help us to recognize the problems that are even before us. And I can only imagine the extent of that, as strong as it is now, how it was in these early days of the early church. Because it had already, apostasy had already crept in and had already been described to us in 2 Timothy and 2 Peter. Those two books give you some things of the apostasy of their day, and of course looking forward to our day. And this little book of Jude, it gives you the apostasy that comes to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, or at least the professing church. And he gives us the cause and the course of that direction that is taken, that is against the things of the Lord. So let's begin reading in verse number 1. We'll read these 25 verses and then note just a few things here with them. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace, and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though yet once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting change, under darkness unto judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominions, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone after the way of Cain. They've ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with your feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about with winds, about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the root. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouths speak great swelling words, having men's person in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some having compassion, have compassion making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. These are short verses, few words, but what a scathing indictment it is against apostasy. What a message that Jude gives not only to the people of his day, as the Lord gave him utterance to write these things, the Spirit gave him the message to pin them down, but these things are preserved for you and I, and they are as prevalent now, maybe even more than they were in Jude's day. And Jude pretty aptly describes the attitude and the actions of those that are despisers of the Lord, those that are haters of God, those that despise the things of righteousness. And we see an intensified action in our day of the spirit of apostasy around us. Apostasy means you just turn from truth. You have the ability, you see truth, you understand truth, you turn your back on that, you go the other direction, and you become an apostate. You become one that knows not or will not do, will not accept, and will finally blaspheme and deny the Lord Jesus Christ and his teachings. We have that we call modernists, we call them liberals, we call them different names that describe the actions of these type of people. But I believe the words here that Jude gives to us is ample to describe the attitude that they have. They are filthy dreamers, they defile the flesh, they despise dominion, and they speak evil. And so we find their actions are ever before us, and we are to be alerted, we are to be understand what's taking place in the day in which we are living. The key verse is found, I believe, in verse number 3. This is the verse that most of the time is always keyed in on as far as messages are concerned. It says, "Beloved, I gave all diligence to write unto you that of a common salvation. It was needful that I write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith." That is the theme of this chapter. And Jude gives us the reason why we should contend. Jude gives us the actions of those that are haters of God, those that are haters of the truth of the Lord. And so therefore we must contend for the truth and contend for the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said it is the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now there's a lot of different meanings to the word faith. We all, as a Christian, we had that expression and that acceptance and have saving faith in our life that we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We trust him and we place our faith upon him. That is saving faith. But I believe the faith here that Jude is talking about is this faith of revealed truth that we have, that we must stand for and have righteous actions, because there are those that are so opposed to the things of the Lord. The book of Acts, if you read right there at the title of the book of Acts, it will say the Acts of the Apostles. You could write under the title here, Jude, Acts of the End Time Apostates, because this is their actions, this is what they do. This is how they live. This is how they act. This is what they say. And then the result of that. And so we as a believer, we are to contend earnestly for the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us in verse number 20, who he's really writing to here. He says, But ye, beloved, build up yourselves on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So as we see the problems arise, as we see the turning away from the righteousness of the Lord, and we literally are seeing a nation turning from God and turning away from the things that has really built our country and built our nation to be a great nation, we are seeing that decaying and destroyed and torn down by types of people just like this. It doesn't start necessarily in the schools, but it ends up there. Most of our places of higher education have no business, has nothing to do with things of the Lord. They mock and make fun of righteousness. They mock and make fun of Christians. And so they are an end result of what takes place. But where it really takes place, where it really starts, is in the house of the Lord. It's in the place where we come to receive the truth and have the message. But there are those that have crept in unaware. Jude tells us they have come in and unaware to what's being done, what's being said. And so they have their influence. They make their mark. And you can send them off, send off people, young people, to colleges and even to religious institutions, and their faith can be destroyed because of what it's called higher intellect. But tonight we are to live by faith. We don't have to understand everything. We can't understand everything that God gives to us, but I can believe it by faith because it's in the Word of God, because it's in the Scripture, the message that we have before us. And so Jude says, as he writes to the believer, even though most of it is giving us things concerning the unbeliever, he is writing to us as believers that we would build up ourselves in that most holy faith. In verse number 21, he says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for mercy from the Lord Jesus unto eternal life, and having compassion. So that's the actions of a believer. That's the actions of a Christian. He tells us as a Christian to contend for truth, contend for righteousness, and for those things that are given to us. There's an earnest exhortation here in verse number 3 that we are to contend for that faith that has been delivered to us and has given to us hope. And the word contend means to struggle for, to fight for, and to go to battle if need be for certain things. The faith here accepts and holds to the truth of the Word of God. This book that we have before us tonight is our faith. It's our guide. It's our rule of faith. We don't have to have another book. We don't have to have another document. We've got the Word of God as the leadership and the guide to you and I, that we follow the faith of God's Word. And so Jude says, earnestly, diligently, heartfelt contending and struggling for that particular thing. There's some things that's important that we must stand for and must have that. And so Jude gives us examples of those that rejected the Lord and what happened to them. He tells us in verse number 3 that have the Lord saved his people out of the land of Egypt. They rejected the Lord later, and he had to bring about judgment upon them. He destroyed them that believed not. And the key to it is belief or believing not. We go to heaven tonight because we believe what thus saith the Lord. A person goes to hell tonight, not because of their actions, not because of their deeds, not because they are living a certain way. We don't go to hell by works, just like we don't go to heaven by works. We go to heaven by believing and having faith, and a person dies and goes to hell because of unbelief and rejecting the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, our actions on both sides are a result of what we believe. As a Christian, we have certain actions that we hold and we do because we have trusted the Lord in our heart and our soul, and then we believe what he says, and so we try to follow the rule of faith that God gives to us. And so our actions follow our belief. The same way with a lost person, his actions follow what he believes or does not believe. And so when a person stands before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, it's not determining where you go to heaven or hell. That's determined here on earth. That determines what kind of rewards we get or the rewards that we might lose in the eternity. And a person, when he stands before the white throne judgment, there in Revelation, that does not determine if he goes to heaven or hell. That's determined here. And so he stands before the Lord with his deeds and his actions. And these men, here says certain men crept in unaware. And so they were unaware to what takes place. And they plant a little seed of distrust. They plant a little seed of not believing and disbelieving and questioning of the Word of God. And that grows and grows until it blooms out into a full-grown argument against certain things that we hold as true. And so he gives us these examples. He saved his own people out of Egypt, but yet those later that disbelieved or would not believe, he destroyed those even though he had brought them out of Egypt. Then he gives us that example of the angels which kept not their first estate. Been a lot of discussion on this verse, how that the angels that kept not their first estate, what happened to them? He tells us here they left their own habitation and they are reserved in everlasting change under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. The angels are going to be those that fail. Some of those that fail when Lucifer failed, they're going to be judged because of their actions and they kept not their first estate. And then he gives us the example of Sodom and Gomorrah and those cities that surrounded that, how that they left the natural use of man with woman, and they gave themselves over to fornication, go after strange flesh, and now they are an example of the suffering of the vengeance of eternal fire. They are the example that we hear in the Old Testament how God brings judgment on ungodliness. And that was a earthly fire that came upon Sodom and Gomorrah, but the end result of that is that eternal fire of hell upon those that disbelieve. And so Jude gives us all of these things. And so therefore we are to gird ourselves up. We are to stand true. He says here, praying in the Holy Ghost, having compassion on those, and then some even pulling them out of the fire, saving them and showing them the truth, even though we hate the spot of their garments. And then he says to him that is able, thank God he is able. I don't know how many times the scripture tells us that, but God is able. And Jesus is able to take care of every need. And so he says to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding power, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power both now and forever. So Jude starts out with the where he's coming from. He says he's a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says he's been sanctified by God, been preserved in the Lord Jesus Christ and been called of the Lord. And so there's our position as a believer. And we have now the commendation, the commandment of the Lord through this writer, Jude, that we are to contend for the faith, that we're to stand up for truth. There's that warning that is given to us. And if ungodly men could creep in that day, how much more has happened in our day? I don't know how many times I've heard people just question common, everyday, knowledgeable questions about the Lord. The questions that come up and the critiquing of the Word of God and the questioning of the reason why God does certain things and questioning why certain things in the Word of the Lord, those are creeping in unaware many times, and he tells us to beware of that. This is done by their denials and their mockings. Turn over to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter number 2. 2 Peter goes right along with Jude and some of his statements and some of the things that he gives to us of the day in which he lived and we live. In 2 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately, there's that unaware thing, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom they way of the truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned. That word feigned means false. With feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. So Peter talks about the same people, the same type of people that Jude talks about. Here he says they come in privately, and Jude says they come in unaware. And they do that, and they speak evil of truth. And then many shall follow after them. So there's the warning to be careful of what we see and what's going on. To be careful to know the Word of God, to have a understanding of the Scripture. And the best way you can learn is to just get in it and read it and study it, and not take somebody else's idea, but find out what the Lord gives you. And you can be assured if the Lord gives it to you, it'll be right. And the Holy Spirit will not lead you in the wrong direction. And find out what the Scripture says and compare word with word and text with text. And then you will be able to identify somebody that comes in and says something that's false. Here Peter talks about where we read there. We go back there just a moment. There in chapter number 2, he talks about those that even deny the Lord that bought them or has the ability to buy, denying the Lord and denying the things of God. What a sincere warning that we should take from Jude and from also Peter, that we are to contend for the faith. And before you can contend for something, you've got to be convinced that it's correct, that you're convinced that certain things are as are given to us. Again, he uses some examples. Some have gone the way of Cain. Of course, Cain is that religious individual that had a no-blood sacrifice. You'd be surprised tonight how many people hate the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they go to church every Sunday. They stand behind a desk that's called pulpits, and they take scriptures and that are probably not truth, and they will twist and turn and deny even the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They take it out of their songbooks. They take it out of their textbooks. They take it out of their mind. They take it out of their lives, and they are lost without God and without hope. But yet they're religious. They've gone the way of Cain. Cain said, I've offered my best to God. Well, his best was not good enough because it was not a blood sacrifice. And you and I tonight, we're saved by the blood of the Lamb. We're saved because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he uses that example of Cain, that religious, boisterous individual that rose up and slew his brother Abel, because God had respect to Abel's sacrifice and not to Cain's. And that's his attitude. He uses the example of Balaam. You can read that in Numbers chapter 22. Balaam was only interested in the reward that could come from man. And so he tried his best to curse the people of God. They've gone after the way of Cain. They've gone after the way of Balaam. And then he uses that last example, gainsaying of Korah. And of course, he rose up against Moses and God destroyed him. And so he gives us example after example of what unrighteousness is. He gives us example of ungodliness. And then he says, but ye, beloved, build yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. It's important for us to understand we have the Holy Ghost that lives in our heart. He guides us. He directs us. And he helps us. He gives us a challenge. That's the challenge that that Jude gives to us, that we are to give ourselves over to the Lord. While we're contending, sometimes while we're contesting the things of the Lord, we must realize it is the Holy Ghost of the Lord that gives us strength and gives us ability, gives us mental capacity to even understand, for God so loved the world. And so he tells here that we are to build ourselves up. We are to keep ourselves in the love of God, keep ourselves from the world, have compassion in our heart, and then understand that he is able to fight the battle for us, that he's able to fight the problems that come, and we are to stand for truth and righteousness. I want to just give you 6 or 7 things that I believe are worthy of contending for. And we'll go through these real quickly. Number 1, I believe it's worthy to contend for biblical authority. this Bible is true. I know we live in an age that's enlightened, and we live in a time when the Bible is looked down upon as an archaic book and full of fairy tales. But I believe it's very important that we contend for the authority of the Word of God, that it is final truth. It is final. If God says it, that settles it, whether I believe it or not. I've heard people say, well, God said it, I believe it, that settled. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not, it's settled. It's God's Word, biblical authority. The authority that God gives to His Word, He puts His Word even higher than His own name, according to one of the Psalms. So, authority tonight. Who has authority? What has authority? This Bible is the only true authority that we have that we can rely upon. I've got a lot of books, and others of you have many books, but this is final authority. I find something wrong in every book I read. I find things I disagree with in every book I read except this one right here. I find some things in here I hate to agree with. I find some things here that cut me at certain points in my life, but you have to agree because this is the Word of God. This is the authority that God has given to us, how that we're to live, how we're to serve, and He'll tell us how we die and where we go after we leave this world. I'm glad when I draw my last breath, I don't have to wonder where I'm going. I'm glad I may go through a process, and you may go through that long process of dying, but one thing I'll know for sure, that when I leave this world, be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, because this book tells me that is truth. Final authority, biblical authority. I believe we need to understand that there are that you and I, as a Christian, we have direct access to the very throne of God. We call that the priesthood of the believer. It's called that which we are believer priest. We don't have to have the Old Testament priest. We don't have to have the sacrifices. Now, the Old Testament priest, they would go in behind the veil once a year, and the sins of the people of Israel would be pushed forward on that Day of Atonement. When that lamb would be slain, they'd go in and sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. And that was the job of the high priest. We don't have the high priest living upon earth now. Our high priest is seated in the heavens, according to the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. So we believe in what's called the priesthood of the believer. You can go to the Lord yourself, and you can give Him everything in your heart because you are a believer priest. We don't have to have the Old Testament priest. Thank God we don't have to have worldly priests that we stand behind a door and open a little window and confess our sins, and they say they have the authority to get rid of those sins. Only one who can get rid of sin is the sinless one, Jesus Christ. And so we believe, and I believe that's worth contending for. I believe that's worth fighting for. I believe that's worth standing for, that we believe as a Christian, as a believer, I have a invitation from the Lord. He says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Come and tell what we need and ask our Lord those things that are given to us. We believe, as Baptist people, we believe the autonomy of the local church. We believe our church has the authority to do whatever God leads us to do without asking anybody anything. And so those are things that are important. We believe in the separation of church and state. That has always been one of the high marks of Baptist people. That's one of the high marks of Christianity, that the state has no authority, has no ability to tell us how to run our church. And neither does the church have authority over the state. It's a separation. But we're not separated from. We are separated as far as the power structure and the authority comes. And so we believe every individual has the right to accept these things and go to the Lord. We believe everybody has the right to stand for truth that they feel is right in their heart. I would stand probably with some folks that I didn't agree with every detail of their particular professions if that helped me have my right to stand for truth of the Word of God. If they can shut one person up, they can shut another one up. If they can shut one group up, then the government can shut up another group. But you and I tonight, we believe that we have the authority from the Word of God to stand for truth and stand for righteousness. And thank God the forefathers of our country were smart enough and understood enough in the progression of time how that can be destroyed and how that can be taken away. And we have that guaranteed to us in our Constitution. But more authority than the Constitution is the Word of God. The Christian has the message. The Christian has the plan. The child of God has this authority in his heart and in his hand. David said, I will hide the Word of God in my heart that I might not sin against him. He says, I'll take the Word of God because it's a light unto my path. It's a way that we can see and what we can do and where we can go. And so we believe certain things, and these things are worth contending for. You lose little at a time. I was listening to someone this afternoon on one of the news casts. They were talking about, well, we could give away just a little bit of our liberty for freedom. Well, we've given away a whole lot of liberty for freedom, and we're still having a big problem with that. We better stand true on freedom and righteousness and holiness and standing on the truths of the Word of God. So Jude gives us, right before the book of the Revelation, he gives us a little preview of what kind of people is going to be active in the apocalypse. What kind of people are going to have authority in those days after we are gathered to him, after we're taken to him. Then the world is ruled by apostate rule, by people that deny God and hate God. And the end result of that is that the bottomless pit is opened up and many are cast there forever and forever. I'm glad to thank the Lord one day I trusted him. I'm glad I have that in my heart. I read today someone put on their notes, said, I'm so glad that I'm a Christian. That's all it said. And that's a whole lot to be said. So glad the Lord saved me. So glad the Lord gave me life and gave me an opportunity to hear the Word of God. And if I have that opportunity, if I had that, and I believe every generation ought to have that same opportunity to hear the message of salvation, to hear the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, who he really is. I don't need somebody to tell me who Jesus is. This book tells me who he is. I don't need somebody to write a book on killing Jesus to tell me what happened to the life of the Lord. I'm glad I got this book that tells me why he died. And by the way, nobody killed our Savior. He freely gave his life that I might live. He said, I lay down my life. He lay it down freely. He dismissed his spirit and he brought it up again. And you and I tonight, we have life because of that, and we can live and serve him in these last days. And in these last days, when did they start? Sounds like they started in the time of Jude. Sounds like they started in the time of 2 Peter when he wrote those words back in the first century. Apostates creeping in unaware, pulling people away, following after their pernicious ways, and their end is destruction and eternity without God. Lord, help us tonight to stand and contend for the faith. Contend for truth. And live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Build ourselves up in our faith and praying in the Holy Ghost. Let's stand together.